Crown House by Peter Ling and Juliet Ace. Starring Jane Asher, Gail Honeycutt, Barbara Lee Hunt, Margaret Rawlings, Dinah Sheridan, Martin Jarvis, Richard Pascoe, and Dominic Rickards. Part 3.
June the 26th, 1927. After evensong, I walked with Richard in the orchard, and when the house was quiet, we came back here. It won't always be as it is now. I do know that. But I am so happy. The countryside in June is so beautiful. Lord Minster is beginning to see the fruits of his labour. The rose garden is a riot of colour. Richard stole one perfect bloom for me. The heady perfume fills the room, a constant reminder of my love. This morning, I helped Mother prepare Nicholas's room ready for his homecoming. I can't imagine that he will want to spend much of his leave in Crown House. Eaton Square will be much more convenient for the London season. In any case, Lady Minster is already there, and will want to see as much of Nicholas as she can. She will hear about the Duke and Duchess of York's travels at first hand.
There, there. Don't look so solemn, my little duck. You're wondering what's going on, aren't you? It's the people outside the palace cheering your mummy and daddy. Everybody's that glad to see them home again, safe and sound. Even though it's raining and they're all getting wet through, they don't care.
Annie, is Lilibet awake now?
Yes, my lady, the noise woke her, but she's been as good as gold.
Oh, thank goodness. The Duchess of York wants to have her.
Out there, on the balcony?
After being away all these months, I don't think she can bear to be parted from her. I'll take her, shall I? There's a good girl.
It's still pouring. And open that umbrella for me, would you?
I'll hold it over her. Come along, darling. Off we go. Your first glimpse of the people of England.
Just listen to them. They're making more fuss about that baby than all the rest put together.
You still take milk and sugar, Nicholas?
Please.
Well, you've been away so long. Here you are.
Thanks.
Where had I got to? Oh, yes, Lilibet. The Duchess held her up so the crowd could see her, and they cheered like mad.
Lilibet?
That's her new name.
Oh?
She invented it. Elizabeth was too much for her, so she calls herself Lilibet. The Duke and Duchess are so happy to be home again.
The Duke made a very good impression down under. He even got through his speeches without much difficulty, though he always insisted on the Duchess being where he could see her. Perhaps that gave him confidence.
I'm told the King actually congratulated Bertie when they got off the train at Victoria.
The old man said, gruffly, "Well done, my boy." The Duke looked absolutely thunderstruck.
I'm afraid he doesn't often get compliments from his father. Oh, Nicholas, it is nice to have you home again.
You still think of Eaton Square as home?
No, not really. Well, the others are completely settled in at Crown House now. I suppose it's bound to be a little different for me, because I still spend so much time in town, on duty.
I'm going back to Crown House tomorrow. How are they all? How's old B?
Nicholas, you really must stop calling her that. She's been very ill, as you know, though she's beginning to recover now, thank heavens. She still needs looking after. Mrs. Webster stays with her day and night.
Sooner her than me. How's Pa?
Oh, he never changes. He's absolutely devoted to the garden. He's out there all day long.
Why? There are enough gardeners, surely.
Well, it's his hobby. No, it's more than a hobby. It's a passion. Of course the gardeners help, and so does Jenny Webster when she's not too busy.
I didn't know she'd taken up gardening. I was just going to ask. How is Jenny?
Jenny Webster, you are very bad for my health.
Oh?
Well, rushing away from tea to be with you.
Do you really miss your cucumber sandwiches and seed cake?
I think Father misses my risque stories.
You don't tell him.
Oh, I have to. Otherwise I have to endure endless lists of his endeavours in the garden.
But he's so proud of it. Don't deny him that.
And don't deny me the endless pleasures of your sweet self. Come here.
Hello?
Blast. Who's that?
Richard? Richard! Are you there?
Nick's arrived.
Hello there. Hello? I'm coming down.
Richard! Oh, it's so good to see you.
My, oh my! My little brother has grown into a tough old seabird. Where did you spring from?
We docked yesterday. I'm on leave. I got here as soon as I could.
Wonderful. Globetrotting obviously agrees with you. You'll have to tell us endless tales of exotica in Australia and New Zealand.
Oh, that can wait. Where's Father?
Oh, he's probably talking to his roses.
Nothing's changed. And Jenny?
Hello, Nick. Welcome home.
And Nicholas stormed off, as though he wasn't pleased to see me at all. I can't imagine that he would be shocked by the love Richard and I have for one another. And I suppose if you're not in love, it's difficult to comprehend it in others.
Jenny, her ladyship wants to see us both.
Whatever for?
I don't ask questions, I obey. Brush your hair, girl, you look quite slovenly.
I had a long day in school, Mother.
Did you indeed?
Close the door. And sit yourselves down. Can't bear looking up at people. You haven't been to visit me lately, Jenny.
I didn't think you'd want to be disturbed, my lady. Mother keeps me informed about your progress. I'm very pleased that your health is improving.
Are you indeed? So am I. It is improving so rapidly that I shan't need you any longer, Webster.
Oh,
you can move back into your quarters. Your daughter needs you more than I do.
Oh, no, your ladyship. I'm very happy for Mother to be near you.
Well, I'll do whatever you say, your ladyship.
Thank you. That will be all.
Come along then, Jenny.
Jenny stays. Thank you, Mrs. Webster.
Yes, ma'am.
That's better. I particularly wanted a word with you, child.
Was there something special you wish to say to me?
It's about my grandson. Don't look so startled. It's hardly a secret, is it? I dare say everyone in the house is tittle-tattling about it.
Richard and I are friends, if that's what you mean.
Friends? You're in love with the boy.
I am very fond of him. Should I be ashamed of that?
Don't be impertinent. Fond, indeed. I don't even have to leave my rooms to see what's happening. I have an uninterrupted view of the lake.
So I see.
It's got to stop. I've spoken to Richard. He's not to encourage this nonsense for a moment longer.
You spoke to Richard?
I told him plainly, it's got to stop. I don't deny he's partly to blame, but he's a man. Men never think of consequences.
Oh, Richard isn't like that.
Poppycock, someone has been filling your head with romantic nonsense. Have you forgotten your place? There is no future in this liaison. You do know that. I won't have it. There's never been a public scandal in the family, and I don't intend to let it happen now.
How dare you? You have no right to speak to me like that.
You forget yourself.
Oh, no. I know who I am. I'm not your servant to fetch and carry. What I do in this house, I do of my own free will.
Oh, do you?
I earn my own living, and I live my own life. None of that should concern you in the least. Excuse me. Damn! How dare she! How dare she!
You may well cry, my girl.
Leave
leave me alone.
Perhaps now you'll come to your senses, and not before time. Mr. Hawkins asking questions and whittering and sniggering in the servants' hall. To think that her ladyship knew. Oh, I should have put you in service. You've got no morals. And how dare you speak the way you did to her ladyship?
How do you know what I said?
I heard every word.
You were spying on me, eavesdropping.
Don't you talk to me like that. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, throwing yourself at a man like a common tart.
It wasn't like that. You know nothing about it.
I know all I need to know, but it's over now. He's been told. There'll be no more kissing and canoodling. Mr. Richard won't be bothered with you from now on.
That's not true. He loves me.
Oh, you little fool. He won't say no to a pretty girl. What makes you so different?
That's enough.
I hope you're proud of yourself. How does it feel to be another name on his list?
Thank you. Oh, where did I put my handkerchief? Oh, Miss Duncan.
I didn't mean to startle you. Is this what you're looking for?
Oh, thank you. I must have dropped it. Oh, dear, how awful. I seem to have been using it as a paint rag by mistake.
Take mine, your ladyship. Oh. It's perfectly clean.
Oh, thank you. You're very kind.
Now, perhaps you'd care to tell me what's upsetting you.
Oh, it's nothing really. This little watercolour of the lake, I can't seem to get the perspective right.
Well, if you don't mind my saying so, I don't believe the perspective could have made you cry like that.
No. It was Jenny.
Jenny Webster? Surely not.
Oh, it wasn't her fault. She didn't mean to be unkind. I was sitting here at my easel when she came running out of the house. She was so upset. She didn't know where she was going. She almost knocked me over.
Well, that's not like Jenny. As a rule, she keeps her feelings well under control.
Something dreadful must have happened. I guessed it was something to do with Richard. I tried to talk to her. I probably said the wrong thing, but it was no good.
Maybe you picked the wrong moment.
She turned on me and said, "What's it got to do with you? Why can't you stop interfering? Leave me alone." She looked at me as if she hated me.
Oh, my dear, don't cry. There's nothing to cry about. Come here.
Oh, hold me. Don't let go of me.
I won't, Edith. Never.
Oh, Grace, I never meant. I never thought.
Of course you didn't. There's more to life than you ever dreamed of, my love. So much more.
Gina, I insist on an answer. Will you please stop combing your hair? This is extremely serious.
Oh, don't be such a grouch, Charlie. Alice will be here any minute. Can't the bank statement wait till another day?
No, it cannot. Our personal account, our joint account, is heavily overdrawn, and I want to know how it happened.
Honey, banks like giving overdrafts. That's how they make their living, for goodness sake.
I have never been overdrawn in my life. You appear to have been spending money like water.
Oh, well, I guess I have been kind of extravagant, but you see, there were one or two little debts I hadn't quite cleared up when I married you.
What? Why didn't you tell me? Yeah. Will you please look at me when I'm talking to you? Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. I'm much too early. Perhaps I shouldn't have let myself in.
Alice, darling, it's a joy to see you any time. Charlie and I were just having a little spat, but now that you're here, everything's going to be fine. And to cheer us up, Charlie's going to take us nightclubbing later. Aren't you, honey?
Oh, just hold me. I feel so safe.
I'm always here.
And no one can touch us?
Not a soul.
They all think I'm some innocent. I know it must end sometime. But the present, it's ours.
We must be more careful, though.
Oh, dear Richard. could stay in your arms forever.
Dearest Jenny. Mm.
Well, I suppose we should stir ourselves. We don't want to miss the beginning of the film.
I can't, Jenny. I can't. I've got to see Colonel Harrington. I meant to tell you, damn it, I'm sorry.
Oh, well, that's all right.
Father insists I go over to look at some newfangled farm machinery. We'll have to postpone it for another night.
Oh, it doesn't matter. We've talked. I feel happy again. That's the important thing.
I'd much prefer to stay here with you, my darling.
What did you say this place was called?
The Black and White. It's Gina's favourite haunt these days.
Cute name, don't you think? The decor's black and white, and so are the staff and the band. Charlie, why don't you give Alice a little whirl round the floor?
I'm still trying to get my bearings. All those mirrors and the shiny chromium plate, it's dazzling.
It's certainly the place to be. Would you look? Who's over there?
Oh, it's the Prince of Wales.
He's smiling at you. What's he saying? I can't hear.
The Duchess of Dillwater. That's my nickname. I'd better go and say hello. Excuse me, won't you?
Well, she might have introduced us, don't you think?
Yeah, I think I need a whiskey and soda.
You know where the bar is. Oh, there's Louis. See you later, honey. Louis, hi there.
Good evening, my dear. Pleasure to see you, as always. Tell me, who's the lady you were talking to just now? I noticed she's dancing with Dashing David.
Jeepers! How do you like that? You're never going to believe this, but that is my sister-in-law, Alice Minster.
Ah.
Dancing like crazy. Now, why can't my husband let his hair down like that?
You're still having problems with him.
And how? On top of everything else, we're fighting about money now. Oh, I wish I had your trick of making a quick buck.
Oh, nothing to it. You want to pick up a little on the side? I could help you, if you're serious.
What would I have to do?
I could put you in touch with the right people. We're always on the lookout for dealers.
Do you mean I would be dealing?
Ah, well, there you are. Good evening, Louis. Good evening. I heard you mention dealing. I never knew you were connected with a stock exchange.
I deal in antiques. Old paintings, furniture, interior decoration. That's where the money is nowadays. I just asked your wife if she might be interested in working with me.
Thank you, sir. That was highly enjoyable. Breathless, but enjoyable.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Oh, sorry. I guess I didn't look where I was going.
All these mirrors, it is rather confusing.
And I'm new around here anyway.
Just between ourselves, so am I. It's my first visit to the Black and White.
I can beat that. It's my first time in Europe. I only left the States last week.
You're on holiday?
Yes and no. I'm trying to pay my way by doing some writing. I'm a journalist.
So that's why you're here, gathering research on our wicked city.
As a matter of fact, I'm looking for my sister. I called at her apartment and some guy in a stuffed shirt told me I'd find her here.
Well, that's another coincidence because I'm looking for my brother. Ah, here he comes. My brother Charlie and his wife Gina. I don't believe it. Scott, where in God's name did you spring from? Charlie? Alice? This is my kid brother, and I warn you, he is totally insane.
Thursday, the 1st of September. There's thunder in the air. I feel uneasy. The weeks pass so quickly. Next week I shall be back at school. A new term, a new class. Perhaps I won't notice that my meetings with Richard are less frequent. It is so difficult, also furtive. And yet, when we're together, I know that nothing has changed.
People have been scurrying about all day, preparing rooms for Sir Charles and Lady Bowyer and their friends. So unlike the old days, when no one visited and the house was full of gloom.
When? Just a splash. Don't drown it, old girl.
There you are.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Chin chin. I wanted a chance to talk to you on your own, Alice, because, well, to be perfectly frank, Charlie and I have a little favour to ask you.
Oh, do we? First I've heard of it.
Leave this to me, honey lamb. The ghastly truth is, we're in rather a jam, financially. It's mostly my fault,
I'm sure Alice doesn't want to hear about our private affairs.
Sweetheart, she's your family. That's why she won't mind me asking. The bank are threatening all kinds of trouble if we don't settle up, so could you help us out by lending just a little money? You know, just a short-term loan.
Well, I don't really know. When you say a little money, how much do you...
Well, say about £7,000.
Oh,
Gina, you have absolutely no right...
Shut up, Charlie. At least let's hear what Alice has to say.
Quite honestly, I don't know what to say. I don't think I can manage 7,000. Would 5 be of any use?
Dear old thing, 5,000 would be a godsend, but I don't want to cause any problems for you.
I don't get it. Surely you and William could raise 7 between you.
Gina, for heaven's sake!
This has nothing to do with William. I try not to bother him about money. We have separate bank accounts.
That's such a good idea. Didn't I always say so, Charlie?
Well, I'll give you a check later. But I'd rather you didn't mention it to William. And I'd be grateful if you could start paying me back as soon as possible, because, well, 5,000 will practically clean me out.
Gina! Charlie! Oh, good to see you.
William, you look more handsome than ever.
Sorry I wasn't here to meet you when you arrived, but I just ran into Caro taking your brother around the estate. I'm afraid that young man doesn't know what he's let himself in for. Once Caro gets going, he won't get a word in edgeways.
Ever since I was in high school, back in New Jersey, I always wanted to be a newspaper man. Of course, it didn't happen overnight. I had a good many doors slammed in my face before I finally got my first break. That's when I moved to New York City. It was around that time I started taking an interest in politics. Hey, listen, I'm sure this must be boring the hell out of you.
Oh, no, not a bit. It's fascinating.
Well, if you say so. Is it okay for me to use words like hell to a member of the British aristocracy?
The British aristocracy use simply frightful language. I'm quite used to it. Do go on telling me about your work.
Well, it really began when I was covering labor rallies and strike meetings. I decided I couldn't just stay on the sidelines. I wanted to join the pickets myself. I wanted to stand up and be counted. That's when I threw up my job on the New York Times and started working for New Dawn. It's only a struggling weekly, but it's not afraid to sing out loud and clear. Oh, my gosh. You really shouldn't let me run on like this. You've hardly said a word.
Mr. Hanson?
Scott, please.
Scott, I'm so glad your sister married my uncle. I've never met anyone like you in my whole life.
You do very well for yourselves in the country, Alice.
Indeed we do. Cook is a pearl beyond price.
I didn't expect such elegance. We had
some of this. But, my dear Lord Minster, it's all a question of keeping abreast with innovation.
I don't doubt it, but I still don't have to go along with it.
Father is all for preserving the past, Colonel. He'll have made the garden so beautiful in his lifetime that I won't have the heart to turn the lot over to parkland.
Over my dead body.
But the farm is quite a different proposition, Pa. Colonel Harrington has made me see that farming is a business.
Gosh, I think that's wonderful. So what did you do next? Alone in New York without a job?
Oh, it was the big sales pitch, trying to convince editors that I was the cream.
You make it sound so easy.
That's because I talk in shorthand. I've left out the struggle, the disappointment.
Oh, but it must be everyone's dream to work in a national newspaper. I don't understand why you threw it all away. I mean, I've never heard of... What did you call it? New Dawn?
Look, it could go down the chute any time, but it stands for everything I believe in, and it isn't afraid to print. If you'd reported faithfully the goings-on at labor rallies and strike meetings, stood on picket lines to get the facts, and then find that every word you've written's been wiped out, well...
Caro is absolutely captivated by your brother, Gina.
Isn't she just? He's probably trying to convince her that her lifestyle is immoral, that privilege is unjust. The poor boy's so miscarried.
But endlessly enthusiastic.
Daddy, did you know we're all guilty of theft?
What's that?
Scott says property is theft. Owning property. Especially when it isn't used to benefit others.
Long live the revolution, what?
It's not funny. Look at the lodge cottage, for instance. It's been empty for years.
So it has, for years and years.
I beg your pardon, Edith.
Oh, nothing. Nothing really, except I've just had an idea.
Yes, Mr. Hawkins, and what happened then?
Well, Lady Edith asked his lordship's permission to move into the old lodge cottage, and he said she could.
All on her own?
No. She's going to share it with Miss Duncan, seemingly.
Well, I dare say they'll be company for one another. Pair of old spinsters.
Well, I can't stand here gossiping. Maudie, have you put the chopped ice in the wine cooler? I must take up the champagne.
It's all here.
Why are they having champagne tonight?
It's not our place to ask questions, is it, Jerry? Better make that two trays, Maudie. Let's see, there's 2, 4, 6, 9 of them altogether, and they'll probably send up a glass for the old lady, I shouldn't wonder. Better call it a dozen to be on the safe side.
Righto.
But what's it all about? It's not as if it was anyone's birthday.
Just a family celebration, Mr. Hawkins said. Why don't you give him a hand, Jenny, carrying up the glasses?
Oh, I don't think that will be necessary, Mrs. Webster.
Why not? Then she can take one up to her ladyship, if required. Take one of the trays, Jenny. There's a good girl.
For you?
I think this is very chic, Alice, darling.
It's not a daily occurrence.
Has everybody got a glass?
Shall I take this up to her ladyship, ma'am?
No, no. You must be in on this, Jenny. Hawkins, give Jenny a glass. She must join in too.
Good idea. Come along then, Richard, before the bubbles die.
Well, it gives me great pleasure to announce my engagement to Diana.
What? Richard! I had no idea! What fun!
I propose a toast to the happy couple, Richard and Diana.
Richard and Diana.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny. If you could just pop upstairs, Mama will want to know.
Jane Asher was Jenny, Margaret Rawlings, Old B, Richard Pascoe, William, Dinah Sheridan, Alice, Martin Jarvis, Richard, Dominic Rickards, Nicholas, Gail Honeycutt, Gina, and Barbara Lee Hunt was Grace in the third episode of Crown House by Peter Ling and Juliet Ace. Edith was played by Barbara Atkinson, Caroline, Cara Kelly, Sir Charles Bowyer, Geoffrey Matthews, Mrs. Webster, Eva Stewart, Scott Hansen, Ian Michie, Louis, Simon Cuff, the nursemaid, Diana Olson, and Hawkins was John Sampson. Crown House is directed by Graham Gold.